And we have come as far as verse 24 in chapter 32, where it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called Jacob no more, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou askest after my name?' And he blessed him there." That's central in our what we're seeing here. He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And then 400 years later, Moses says, "Therefore, the children of Israel, eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." So we come now to this place, looking at it, sitting with it. You know, I think, Lord, why is this included? This is one of the greatest nights of the Bible, but it could have come and gone, not been recorded. Nobody would have ever known. But God decides that you and I, you know, thousands of years later, need to know what happened that night. Because there's enough Jacob in each one of us that this should be important to us. It is Jacob's Gethsemane. It is when he is left alone and everybody else, as it were, is a stone's throw away, and he's alone with God, and it's where he finally says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It begins by saying, "And Jacob was left alone." I love your translation that might say, "So Jacob was left alone." I like that. So Jacob is left alone. Look, part of that I'm in my own life, I'm thankful for. That when God wants to wrestle with me, he does it with me while I'm alone. He doesn't have any desire to humiliate me. He doesn't want to put all the things he's wrestling with up on the PowerPoint so you can see them all. He wrestles with me alone, and I appreciate that. The other side of that issue is Jacob has sent across the Jabbok, the river, everything in his life. He's alone and it's quiet. There's no cattle. There's no sheep. There's no kids. His wives are not there. His possessions are not there. There's no protection there. There's no security there. He is alone with God. Important to the Lord, because that's when you and I ultimately discover who we are. When we're alone with God, ain't no bluffing going on there. People think one thing of see us sitting in church, having our Bibles, preaching from the pulpit, doing all the other Christian this, Christian that. But when we're alone, And it's just complete holiness and complete vileness. We know who we are in the light of His presence. We know what we need. We're thankful for what He's done. We're so aware of the things in our life that are still not Christ-like that need to change. And He takes Jacob to that place where he's alone. Now look, he records this, what he does with someone who's alone, because he wants to be with each person in this room this morning individually. This is not written for the person next to you, not your husband, your wife, your kids. All of those are separated. All of that's gone. It's you and it's God alone. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't point at anybody else. Get out of your head. You're alone. You're alone. And He's taking everything. Maybe you feel that way today. My family's gone. Or He took my kids away. Took my spouse away. Took my security away. And it took away my possessions, my success, my wealth, whatever it is. There's something that can only happen when you or I am alone with Him. And that's what's important here. It says Jacob was left alone. This is not a loner. This is a guy who likes to schmooze and manipulate. He always functions around people. He's alone. And it says, and there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of the day. Look, doesn't say Jacob wrestled with the man. He didn't. The man wrestled with him. People like to preach sermons on this, and I torture myself this week. You know, this is a good sermon on persevering prayer. That Jacob persevered in prayer, and that's how he prevailed with God. That's baloney. Bologna. This is not about persevering prayer. Jacob's not the one persevering. We read his prayer in verses 9 to 12, and as soon as he was done praying, he went to schmoozing again. This is not Jacob persevering in prayer. This is the grace of Almighty God persevering in His dealing with Jacob for the last 97 years. You may be 97 here today, and you're asking the person next to you, why am I here? But, you know, this is 20 years after, you know, he fled from the land. God is not in a rush. He is willing to work in our lives for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 80 years. He's willing to do that. And He does it here. He has Jacob alone, and He wrestles with Jacob. He initiates. I'm sure that when Jacob felt this hand, it's dark, it's quiet, there's no lights. He didn't decide to start a fire because he didn't want Esau finding out where he is. I'm sure as all of a sudden somebody grabs hold of him, he thinks it's Esau. First thing he did is probably grab his arm to see if it was hairy. And this wrestling ensues. He's 97 years old. It said they wrestled till the breaking of the day. Are we talking about 6-7 hours? If any of you ever wrestled, you know what it's like to wrestle for 5 minutes. You wish the other guy would die. You know, I got to go back in. You know, just boxing, 3-minute rounds. You just can't believe what that's really like. Wrestling on and on. Just imagine what's going on here. It's hard for us to imagine. And Jacob, when this thing begins, he resists. That's what all of us do when the Lord initiates and comes to us and wants to wrestle with us about something. We do what Jacob did. We resist. Every single person in this room this morning, God is wrestling with about something. Unless you're completely conformed already to the image of Christ, and if you are, you can just float out of here while the rest of us study the Bible. He's wrestling with me. He's wrestling with each of us. He's drawing us to Himself in remarkable ways. And his persevering grace does not give up on us. This goes on and on. And it says in verse 25, when he, the Lord, saw that he prevailed not against him. Jacob is stubborn. This is with the Lord. You know, he'll wrestle with us. He takes us alone. Doesn't do it in front of everybody else. He'll wrestle with us. But when he realizes, man, this is a stubborn one. Which he's never said about me, but he's probably said about you, right? There comes a point in that process where it says, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. After hours, God only has to put forth his finger and touch his hip to dislocate his hip. Nobody's going to pivot for what they do need to do in wrestling with a dislocated hip. Now, you have to understand here, as we look at this, let's just read a few things. It tells us this in Deuteronomy. It says, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out from thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Again, the Lord says this, see now that I, even I, am he. There is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. In Joshua, it says this about parting the Red Sea and so forth to bring them in. And God says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God. And Isaiah will then tell us this. He says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? The oceans of the world, he's measured in the hollow of his hand, in his palm, and he's meted out the heaven with the span of his hand. He's measured out the heaven. We call it light years. He calls it the distance between his thumb and his finger. We see God with Jacob accommodating himself to the weakness of the one with whom he wrestles, and he does that with us every day. He has put on a human frame here. Imagine God Almighty putting on human skin to deal with our problem. It's called the incarnation. And he condescends to wrestle. He laid out the heavens with the span of his hand. He could have done this with Jacob. Bing! Out into eternity. But he wrestles, and he wrestles, and he wrestles. And when he sees that he's not prevailing, he touches his hip and dislocates that. And God is willing to dislocate whatever enables you or I to be stubborn when he's wrestling with us. Whatever sinew you think gives you strength in your life, God wants to put his finger on that. Because he will never let you succeed in your own strength, in your own knowledge, in your own ability. You will only, by divine permission, be able to succeed because you've given up on yourself and you've trusted his grace. There is no other success in heaven beyond that. So he touches him. And his hip is dislocated, if you can imagine there. In the word wrestle in 24 and 25, it's only twice in the Bible. It's the only two times it's used. It's very interesting. It means dust. The root of it means dust or vapor. God is just wrestling with Adam here, with dust. You know, he's just, life is a vapor, it tells us. It's so interesting, the word that's used here. And God steps in, and he's wrestling. And in verse 26... he begins to speak. They begin to talk to each other. And he, God, said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. Light is coming. Nobody's going to see my face. Let me go, for the day breaketh. That tells us Jacob is no longer wrestling. He is now holding on. Let me go. He's no longer wrestling. He's clinging. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. So he understands there's something divine involved in the person that's wrestling with him. And he said, I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. Hosea gives us the biblical commentary on the scene. And he says this. He took his brother by the heel, speaking of Jacob, in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. The Hebrew is he strove with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. The Hebrew is, yea, he struggled with the angel of God's presence, and prevailed in that he wept and made supplication. Kyle and Dielge says it was in his weeping and begging during the wrestling that he prevails. It is in his weeping and his begging that he prevails with God. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then look, verse 27, then God says to him, you want a blessing? What is your name? Now, God's not asking because he lacks information. He knows exactly what his name is. He knew before he came out of the womb who he was going to be. What is your name? The last time somebody asked Jacob that question back in chapter 27 was when he was deceiving his father Isaac. And his father Isaac's thinking, that's the voice that's different. He says, what is your name, my son? And Jacob said to his father, my name is Esau. That's the last time he was asked. Here is the honesty. What is your name? And it's interesting, is he's hanging on. I'm not going to let go unless you... But is he hanging on to the Lord's heel? And the Lord looks down and says, what's your name? Heel catcher. Conniver. Schemer. The Lord knew his name. He's asking for Jacob's benefit, not for his. He wants Jacob to confess who he is and what he lacks. How interesting. He had held on to Esau's heel in the womb. He had held on to Isaac's heel as he deceived him. He had deceived Laban. You know, he's admitting now, this is who I am. I'm a schemer. I'm this, I'm that. And then God blesses. Look in verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, first of all, let me go into this. Some of you in your gloss in your Bible says he's a prince with God. It doesn't say that. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word prince is not even in there. The Hebrew just says, you're no longer going to be called Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast power with God and men and hast prevailed. There's nothing about being a prince in there at all, in the Hebrew. The word's not even there. So then, he's someone who, succeeds with God, or he's someone who has God, Here's the truth. Check it out for yourself. Don't believe me. In the Old Testament, whenever a name has El in it, God, or Yah, Jehovah, it's always the nominative when the rest of the name is a verb. So you find that over 40 times in the Bible. Gabriel, the angel. God is my strength. Daniel, God is judge. Hiel, God liveth. Samuel, God heareth. You can just go through all. So this one here is Israel, which is God governs. What I like, governed by God. So I'm changing your name. No longer heel catcher. Your name now is God governs. Jacob, your name now is you are governed by God. That's the blessing. No longer Jacob. You have strove, it tells us in Hosea, with God. He says, you have prevailed with men. This has been your life. But from now on, you are governed by God. First usage in the Bible, by the way, Israel, the word Israel. First time you find it there. It's used over 2,500 times in the scripture. Remarkably. And look what he says then. Verse 29, so then Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? He would have had to say, Jesus. Why do you ask after my name? Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What is thy name? He says, you know who I am. The next verse, he's going to name the place I've seen the God face to face. He knows who it is. Jacob asked him, said, tell me, I pray, thy name. And he said to him, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And look what it says here now. And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Where? God blesses. God puts us to the page. He shows us what he does in the life of an individual when he's alone with him. And when God has you alone, where is his blessing? He blessed him there. At Jabbok. Listen. He blessed him at the place of crippling. If you're really saying to the Lord today, Lord, I'm tired of wrestling. Been wrestling with drugs, wrestling with pornography, wrestling my marriage, wrestling with this, wrestling with, you know, one thing or another, wrestling with success, wrestling with my family. They're driving me crazy. You know, and he gets you alone. And then it's just you and him. And you're wrestling with that. He will put his finger on whatever sinew you think is your last remaining strength. And God's blessing takes place in the place of crippling. It takes place there, God blessed him there, in the place of clinging, hanging on by your fingernails. When every other resource is gone, everything else you can trust just ain't there, what are you clinging to? Old habits? Are you clinging to pleasure? Are you clinging to bitterness? To unforgiveness? Are you clinging to fear? Are you clinging to false security? What are you clinging to? Because he wants you to realize you can only cling to him in this world. Turn on the news. Watch it. It's corrupting. Jesus said it would wax worse and worse. But we can cling to him. We can cling to him. That's a place of blessing where we're clinging to him. He blessed him there. Where? The place of confession. What's your name? He asked me that. I could say back to him, Joe. But him and I both know what that is and what that ain't. Right? Heel catcher. Schemer. Sinner. Selfish. Stubborn. Rebellious. What is your name? Because his blessing is in the place of confession. and the church today. The church today is presenting to a generation of people a feel-good Christianity that's filled with psychobabble, that doesn't want to mention repentance and confession because they want everybody to feel good, so they just affirm them in their sin. If you want today the blessing of God, if you're wrestling with Him today, and if you're not, you're lying, so you're wrestling with Him today. His blessing is in the place of crippling and clinging and confessing and in the place of consecration. Do you want to live the Jacob life or do you want to live the Israel life? Do you want to live the heel catcher life or do you want to live the governed by God life? There's a place of consecration. And it tells us here, as we look at this, it says, and Jacob called the name of that place then Peniel, and he just quotes Jacob directly, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He would not have changed that single night in his life for anything else and everything else in his life. I was face to face with him. He wrestled with me. He talked to me. He took away my strength so my strength would be in him. He took everything else away that I might cling to him. He put my soul in the light of his presence, so I had to confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He put me in the place where he changed my name from stubborn, scheming, heel catcher to governed by God. I saw him face to face. I would not trade that night away for all of the other things in my life, all of the wealth and pleasure in the world. I wouldn't trade that night away for anything. You know, we hear in the Westminster Catechism that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The Bible tells us the other half of that. It is God's chief end to glorify man and enjoy him forever. It tells us this then in verse 31, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. Imagine this. When he left Canaan, he fled at night, fleeing from Esau, afraid. He had lied, he had connived, everything. He fled with that guilt. When he comes back in the Canaan, the sun is rising. The sun is rising on his life, on 20 years of darkness. You can imagine Jacob, the rest of the family on the other side of the river. He comes across, the kids yelling, Mom, here's Dad, and here he comes. Imagine this. Stooped over, bleeding, bruised, torn and tattered clothes, smeared with dirt and sweat, leaning on his staff, dragging his leg in pain, grimacing with every step, a smile on his face.
Dad, what happened to you? Was it Uncle Esau?
No, I only thought it was going to be Uncle Esau. That's not who I was really wrestling with all along. Was it my family? Was it my kids? Was it my friends? Was it my success? None of those things. I was really wrestling with God. And I tapped out last night. And He blessed me. And Jacob, for the rest of his life, Moses tells us, it becomes a memorial that in Israel they wouldn't eat that part of the hip, the sinew. That's not in God's law. It's not commanded. It becomes part of tradition as a memorial. But imagine, 400 years later, they know this story so well. Do we? Will we remember? Because, you see, we might say, we might listen to this. All right, Lord, you know, my mom called here and told Joe what to preach this morning. No, no, that didn't happen. And maybe you're thinking, man, I wish there was a place where I could just leave all of that. I wish that night would come in my life. I just wish there was a time when I could walk in somewhere like Jacob and walk out like Israel. I wish there was a Jabbok in my life. I wish there was a place in my life. Well, there is. And that's why He recorded it. There is a place. It's here. This morning. He knew it when He put it to the page thousands of years ago. That we would be sitting here looking at it. And He wants to say, I want you alone. I have no desire to humiliate you. I laid out the heavens with the span of my hand, but I'm willing to come to you and to wrestle with you and to cripple you from your own strength and your own wisdom and your own nonsense. And to have you as a son or a daughter, like a little, you know, a little daughter clinging to her father. I want you to be able to be honest with me about who you are. Because it's only as you're honest with me about who you are that you can understand who I am. Lord and Savior. And I want to consecrate your life with my word, with my spirit. There is a place. And there is a time. And it's now. It's now. So let's do this. This morning. If you find yourself in here. And you're just tired of wrestling. And you're ready to say uncle. You're ready to tap out. I've been trying to find my life in investment, in insecurity, my family, my kids, my hubby, my wife, my parents, school, education, degrees. I've been trying to find all of these other places. And Lord, I come to realize I'm not fighting with any. I'm not fighting with these. So I'm not fighting. I'm fighting with you. Because you're trying to get across to my heart and mind that you're the only thing worth holding on to. That one day when I take my last breath, I want to be clinging to you. And if you're willing to do that today, to say, Lord, I want to let go of all the rest. Just leave it go. You know who I am. You know what I am inside. You know I cling to all of this other nonsense all the time. But today, Lord, I want to cling to you. The musicians are going to come. We'll sing a last song together. And if you just feel, you know what, today I come in with enough Jacob in me that I want to leave governed by God with a change name. I'm ready to drop it off if this is the place, if this is the day. I'm ready. And as we sing this last song, let's stand together. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and just come down. I hope the whole congregation comes, but just come down and I'll pray for you as we end. Ladies, I don't want to, don't push your husband out into the aisle, please, or vice versa. You're alone with God right now. That's why he wrote it. Left alone right now. Doesn't matter anybody else's opinion, what anybody else is thinking. Right now, you are left alone in the most wonderful place you could ever be. Alone with his love, alone with his grace, alone with his spirit, alone with his forgiveness, alone with his transforming power. And if you're willing to say, Lord, I'll let go of all the rest. I want to cling today to you, Lord. Then you come as we sing this last song. You come. You stand here. We want to pray with you. Let's worship. You come. Come on, God. I'm going to ask one more time. God bless you guys that have come forward. You know, we say we want revival. Lord, we want revival. We want revival. I need to be filled afresh with your Spirit. What if it's today? What if it's here? What if it's now? What if he's calling us all today to say, Uncle, to surrender. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Change me. I'm tired of wrestling. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. Lord Jesus, you're merciful and you're gracious. I'm holding on, Lord. Let's sing through again. Listen to your hearts if he's drawing you, please. My heart has come, I pray. We do this together.
I'm singing this song. I'm waiting at the cross. And all the world holds dear. I count it all as lost for the sake of knowing you. The glory of your name. To know the lasting joy. Even sharing in your pain. And I.
Lord, we sing this as individuals, Lord. You have us alone, Lord, at this time, in this place. And we sing, I surrender. Lord, I'm singing it. Lord, forgive me for wrestling, resisting, Lord. Grant us a new beginning, Lord. Grant us a revival of Jesus movement again, Lord. This generation is so lost. We turn on the news, Lord. We see the insanity around us, and we know the world needs you, Lord. But if you don't have us, how can you have them, Lord? We give ourselves to you afresh, Lord Jesus. Cripple us. Make us cling to you, Lord. Let confession be a daily part of our relationship, Lord. And we pray that we might be governed, Lord, by you, your word, your spirit. You know each of us, Lord. We bring our hearts and lives before you afresh. Lord, we believe that you're pleased. Lord, that we're doing this. We pray, Lord, it would bless you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.